Welcome inside the vault. This is a collection of previously unreleased lessons from eight-figure entrepreneurial mastermind, Arjun Robbins. And in case you didn't see the warning label, this content can be explicit and it is for serious entrepreneurs only. This week, we continue Arjun's lesson from 2014, which is all about building your A-team so that you can scale your business. You're going to want to grab your pen and your notepad while listening to this episode because there's a practical exercise for you to participate in. If growing your team is a priority for you in 2024, don't miss this episode. Let's go to the vault.
Working with Arjun is like having a shortcut to future you.
Every time I can have an opportunity to spend time with Arjun, I try to take it and be a sponge.
I thought everyone was crazy. You know, they were running to the front of the stage to see this person. Arjun's wearing his crazy shirt.
You know, he drinks tiger blood in the morning just for fun, and he's like breathing down my throat.
Sometimes it's terrifying to work with him. It's like he's looking into your soul, but it's growth the whole way.
You're gonna recruit your A team. In the beginning, you just own a job. How many of us still just own a job? You step away from the business for a day, a week, a month, things slow down, or maybe even grind to a halt, or maybe even go completely off the rails, right? You and your job. And your revenues are probably under about $250,000. And when we tell you you can build a $1 million business, you think to yourself, how in the world am I ever going to build a $1 million business? I can't work 10 times harder than I'm already working. I can't work 10 times more hours than I'm already working. And the way you're going to do it is you're going to build a team. You're going to recruit, you're going to build, and you're going to lead your A team so that all of you can be successful. And you're going to teach them how to spin those plates for their own benefit, for the benefit of your clients, for the benefit of each other, and not least of all, for your benefit. And then you're going to get to the second stage of growth. And the second stage of growth, you're going to be basically spending most of your time just building that team, building that team, building that team, making a lot of mistakes along the way. You're going to hire the wrong people. You're going to miss the red flags. You're going to hire great people but put them in the wrong position because you still don't know what you're doing. And it's going to feel like a revolving door. And it's going to take you 2, 3, 4, 5 times to get a position filled with the right person. And it's going to be excruciating, and it's going to suck, and it's going to be expensive because it's really expensive to hire the wrong people. But you're going to work with your managing partner. You're going to work with your chief executive officer. You're going to work with your chief operating officer. You're going to work with them to create those policies and those procedures and those systems and those job descriptions. And you're going to crunch those numbers and see what it's really costing you to not hire someone. Because it's easy. It is an absolute cop-out to say, I'm not hiring someone because look at how much it's going to cost to hire them. But if you want to really grow up and be a real business owner, you have to also have the courage to look at what it costs to not hire someone. What does it cost to be doing your own bookkeeping? What does it cost to be doing your own, being your own receptionist? What does it cost to be your own assistant? What does it cost to be cleaning your own house as opposed to giving the opportunity to someone else to use that job to make their life better? And where it gets really fun, where you really get the payoff, is when you get to that fourth stage of growth and you get to have this platform and your team is the, you know, your team is spinning that first plate, the marketing, and your team is spinning that second plate, the sales, and your team is spinning that third plate, the factory, and the fourth plate, the physical plant, and the fifth plate, the people, and the sixth plate, the money and the metrics. And then you, holy shit, you get to experience just the most wonderful feeling where you can use your business to make a real difference in the world, where you can really stand on top of your business and just make the world a better place. I mean, could you imagine how awesome you're going to feel when your own clients are saying things like Donna and Scott just said? Can you imagine that? The lights are shining on my face. I can't see heads nodding. I got to hear you. Yes? Okay. That's why you go through the shit. That's why you go through the heartache. That's why you go through the trouble, because your mission, your purpose is powerful enough, is compelling enough, it means enough to you that you'll do it, because people who are interested do what's convenient. People who are committed, God help anyone who gets in our way, we'll do whatever it takes. All right. So, you're recruiting people, you're not hiring them. You can't build an A team by bringing D, by bringing F, D, C, and not even a lot of B players on board. If you're giving someone an opportunity to make their life better by taking that job, have the integrity to put in a little bit of extra work, a little bit of extra effort, to really work with your chief operating officer, to really work with your managing partner, to really sit down and engineer that job so you can make their life a lot better. Okay? And if you're giving someone a prize, if you're giving someone a gift, if you're giving someone an opportunity to make their life like way better, then you don't have to take shit from people. You don't have to take in shitty people. You don't have to tolerate, you know, bad people. You don't have to hire the first warm body that walks in the door. There's an awesome book by a guy named Chet Holmes. Chet has unfortunately no longer with us. The book is called The Ultimate Sales Machine. I highly recommend you study it. I'm going to summarize it for you right now, though. The basic premise of The Ultimate Sales Machine is hire the best and give the best an opportunity to be the best by being part of your team. Why would I want to go work for that law firm? Why would I want to go work for that accounting firm? Why would I want to go work for that business when you're giving me an opportunity to not only make money, but be a better person and achieve my hopes and dreams and goals and ambitions in life and join a mission that I care about? Give people something that they're going to aspire to. Give people something they're going to be excited about to come and join your mission, and then make them prove themselves. And I'm going to show you what I mean by make them prove themselves before we're done with this session today. And we'll have some more fun with it tonight. But first, let's figure out what stage is your business in. So circle one of these. How well can you explain to your shareholders? How clearly can you explain to your team how your marketing process functions? Give yourself zero if you never really thought about it before. You're just kind of doing what you do. Give yourself a one if you could explain it, but it would have to be verbal because you don't yet have anything in writing. Give yourself a two if you could explain it and you could show them something in writing, but first, you'd have to blow the dust off of it. And give yourself a four, give yourself a three if you actually have something in writing that is current within, let's say, even the last 12 months. Ideally, I'd like it to be current every quarter, but I'll let you give yourself three if it's even just within the last 12 months. How well can you explain and show to someone on your team, this is how our sales process is supposed to work. This is how you stand under this plate and spin this rod and make sure that this plate stays in the air. And this is how you, making sure that the sales process works, helps me accomplish my goals and my hopes and my dreams and my ambition and my mission. And this is how it helps you accomplish your hopes and your dreams and your goals and your ambition. Because that's why they're going to give a shit about doing the job. Not because it helps you, but because it helps them. People work for you for their reasons, not your reasons. And you got to grow up and be okay with that. How well can you explain to someone how your factory is supposed to work? Whatever the product or service or experience is that you are in the business of delivering, it has to get created. It gets created by taking stuff and following steps, and people take that stuff and they follow steps and they do stuff with it. Step one, step two, step three. And out comes the product or the service or the experience or the result or whatever it is that your business is actually delivering for people. That's your factory. How well can you show me how those steps are supposed to work? Where is there a blueprint? Zero. I never really thought about it before. I just kind of figure it out every time, over and over and over again, repeating, reinventing the wheel. One, I could explain it, but it would have to be verbal. I mean, why would I want to show an employee something in writing that explains how to do the job that I'm hiring them to do? I should just be able to explain it to them, and they should be able to hear it once, quickly as I'm walking out the door. What the fuck is wrong with you, you moron? You're fired. You did a bad job. No, it's you. You didn't put it in writing. Give yourself 2 points if you could explain it to them and you could show them that job description, except the problem is that the job description still says Mary, and Mary hasn't been working for you for 3 years. And there was Mary, and then there was Bob, and now there's you. And it still says Mary, because it's that far out of date, the job description and the instructions for how the job is supposed to get done. What do you think it tells a person when you recruit them and they take a job with you and the job description has someone's name on it who's not there anymore? Physical plant. Do you have a written plan for your physical plant? Does your written plan for your physical plant match your goals? I want to have a $2 million business. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign a 5-year lease for a physical space that can only accommodate a $1 million business. That would be a really bad idea, wouldn't it? Definitely don't do that. This isn't the Thunderdome. Part of your physical plan is also the documented policies, processes, checklists, templates, examples. You know, make it easy for people to do their job. Make it easy for people to do their job by giving them clear policies, procedures, job descriptions, instructions, checklists, templates, examples, so that they can bring their brilliance to bear in the stuff that matters. Don't make them keep remembering stuff, burning up their mental and emotional energy, remembering how to do the job. That's part of your physical plant also. That's actually when you go to sell your business someday, when you go to bring in an investor or sell your business someday, one of the most important things they're going to be looking at when valuing your business are your documented policies and procedures. I don't have plans for us to do another policies and procedures workshop. It's not on the calendar right now, but when that time comes, jump on it. How many of you were at the policies and procedures workshop? Just show, make noise. The noise you make should be commensurate with the value you felt you received. Now make a sound, make some sound. Thank you. Yeah, the first one wasn't what I was going for. Anyway, the next time we have it, that we open one of those things up, run, jump on it. It's really good stuff. Because that's what people are going to be looking at when they go to buy your business. And your A team, just like you're going to be recruiting them and making them prove themselves and making them jump through hoops and really testing to make sure that they're really A team material for you, here's a shortcut. Here's a shortcut you can use to determine if someone is A-team material. You might want to write this down. Are they interviewing you? Are they interviewing you? You're putting them through a process to determine if they are A-team material for you. Are they equally putting you through a process to determine if you have a mission, a purpose, have your shit together, have policies, have systems, have procedures, have any kind of financial controls? Are you going somewhere? Are they getting on board a sinking ship, or are they getting on board a rocket ship to the moon? A-team players want to know that you're going somewhere. They don't want to be stagnant. You guys all have permission. You see my team in the back. My team is awesome. We've actually hired 5 new people in the last 90 days. We're onboarding them. You have my permission to go to any of them and just strike up a conversation and ask them about how hard it was to get the job with us. How many hoops did we make them jump through? How many different ways did we test them? And you should be sure to ask them. And I'm asking my team, if anyone approaches you and asks you about this, make sure to ask them all the things they did to test us. Make sure to ask them all the due diligence they did to make sure they were getting on board with a growing organization that had values, that had a mission, that had something that was consistent with their goals and hopes and dreams and ambitions. And then, of course, give yourself a 0 if you have no financial controls. Give yourself a 1 if you kind of sort of know what your numbers are, but you don't actually have anything in writing. And by anything, what I mean is if you don't have a 12-month budget in writing, you got to give yourself a 0. You should have a 12-month budget. You should be looking every month at a 6-week cash flow projection. You should be looking every month at a budget variance report. on the membership site, there's a 45-minute video that explains all of this stuff in detail. And we have a live quarterly meeting coming up where we're going to spend the entire day on Saturday basically teaching you more about financial controls than you would learn in an MBA course. Because what we're going to do is we're going to cut out all the bullshit you don't need to know about, and we're just going to condense it down to these are the things you need to know, not try to say here's everything you possibly could know in the universe. But at the minimum, you should have a budget, you should have a budget variance report, you should have a cash flow projection, you should have an AR report, an accounts receivables report every month that you look at and make objective management decisions. How many of us, myself included, no judgment zone, how many of us have gone deeper into the hole on an accounts receivable, meaning we've delivered more services, more products and more services to someone who owes us money already, and after delivering more products and more services, now they owe us even more money? Right? That comes from not looking at and understanding what your accounts receivables report is telling you. There's a saying, I love this saying, if you owe the bank $1 million, the bank owns you. If you owe the bank $100 million, you own the bank. Well, this is what Donald Trump did. Donald Trump owed the bank like $500 million, right? And he owed them so much money that the way the story goes, he basically went to them and said, look, guys, if you don't give me another $100 million plus, what was it, $500,000 a month spending allowance, I will simply walk away and you can have all these projects and finish them on your own without my name attached. He owned the bank. You got to be in control of your finances so you don't accidentally let one of your clients own you. All right, we're getting far away from this, but your team needs to know that you have control of this stuff. Your A team needs to know that you understand your numbers, that you're making objective, rational business decisions and not just, you know, flailing about. Even if you don't share your numbers with your whole team, you know, you're fooling yourself if you think that your receptionist doesn't know when you've got a cash flow problem. I promise you, everyone on your team knows when you have a cash flow problem. Everyone on your team knows when you're struggling financially. They get it. They intuitively understand it. If you have anyone on your team who doesn't intuitively understand and get when you've got cash problems, when you're not in control, if you have anyone on your team who doesn't get on some level that you're not in control of your numbers, you've got a moron on your team. They get it. I promise you. As smart as you are, I'm sorry to break it to you, you're not smart enough to hide the sweat coming down your brow. All right. So where is your firm now? Give yourself a zero if you have never thought of it before, a one if you could explain it, but it would have to be verbal because it's not yet in writing, a two if it's in writing, but it's more than 12 months old, and a three if you've got it, it's in writing, and it's current within 12 months. Give yourself a quick, do the calculation real quick. Look at your paper, not at me. All right. Anyone here give yourself between a 16 and a 21? 16 and 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Guess what all six of these people have in common? 7. Guess what they all have in common, everyone? They all have seven-figure businesses. Do they have a seven-figure business because they got their shit together? Or do they have their shit together because they have a seven-figure business? Which do you think? Did the cause lead to the effect, or did the effect lead to the cause? Causes lead to effects. They got their shit together, and the effect of that was their business broke seven figures. It's just that simple. All right? Scored yourself 11 to 15. Scored yourself 11 to 15. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know each of their finances well enough, but I know that at least 4 or 5 of the 7 who raised their hands, I know that their revenues are growing by at least 30% per year. Am I right? I need a sound.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, you want your revenues to grow at a rate of 30% per year? Get your shit together so you can score yourself 11 to 15. 8 to 10. 8 to 10, score. Raise your hand. 8 to 10. All right. And 0 to 7. Is there anyone who scored yourself a 0 to 7? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Is there anyone here who scored yourself a 0 to 7 and your revenues are over $250,000 a year? 1, 2, 3. Only 4. Only 4 people in the room scored themselves a 0 to 7, but the revenues are actually over $250,000 a year. Are you starting to see a cause and effect relationship here? Right? How would you like to go work for a firm that gives themselves a 0 to a 7? Right? Hi, we'd like to recruit you to join our team, and our team has no game plan.
I do work for that firm. That's the issue.
For now. You know what? I'm going to tell you something, and I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but since you call yourself out there, I'm just going to do it anyway. That's why this guy slept in his fucking car at our first meeting, because he couldn't afford the hotel room, but he knew he had to be here anyway. Are you sleeping in your car this time?
No.
Things are better? Making more money? Having more fun?
Not yet. Yes, but I'm a plate spinner. It's not fun. I'm spinning.
It's not perfect, but it's a lot better than sleeping in your car.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Tune in next week for more lessons from the Vault.